Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. It is USDA Crop Report Day, the 12th of August, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in today with news, including new livestock honorees for the Indiana Livestock Hall of Fame, and more on the trade deal with Japan. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana farm forecast includes some moisture, but not everyone will see it as mostly hot and dry weather continues. And yesterday, corn, especially beans and wheat, all worked higher. A major rally in soybean futures. We'll have analysis with John Zanker and the settlements coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Nearly 50 years of teaching his passion for cattle and Trump's trade deal with Japan. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Farm Progress Show. Ever wonder what's next for agriculture? Farm Progress Show has the answers. Farm Progress Show, where progress meets possibility. FarmProgressShow.com. Ahead of last weekend's grand drive at the Indiana State Fair, three leaders in Indiana's livestock industry were inducted into the Indiana Livestock Breeders Association Hall of Fame.
I guess I'm a firm believer that if you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to be an extension educator, that you need to have some experience.
And there's one of them, Dr. Ron Liminager, a fourth-generation beef producer and longtime Purdue faculty member, known for his commitment to family and advancing the beef cattle industry.
I live, breathe, just like our producers do, with weather and, you know, poor quality hay and all the things, you know, disease and disease prevention. And so I think it makes me a little bit better as an extension specialist for the state of Indiana, but also as a teacher in my beef production class, which is a senior capstone class.
Liminager was surrounded by family and friends as he received the honor. Many of his students, who called him Dr. Ron, were in the Corteva Coliseum as well, making it a very memorable moment.
You know, I'm very humbled by the opportunity to receive this award. There are some, you know, we kind of build on the shoulders of giants, okay? There has been, you know, if you look through the past award winners, these are giants in our industry, whether it be beef, swine, sheep, horses, dairy, and I'm just very, very proud to be a part of that.
Liminager has been teaching at Purdue since 1977. He says when folks ask him when he's going to retire,
simple answer is, I don't know. Okay, I like what I do. I think I'm halfway good at it. I don't know what else to do, okay, besides go out and mess with my cows.
Stanley Poe from Franklin and Keith Lambright from Shipshawana joined Liminager in being inducted into the Indiana Livestock Breeders Association Hall of Fame.
What will your operation look like tomorrow? At Farm Progress Show, you'll find the future of farming today. Join thousands of forward-thinking farmers discovering groundbreaking technology, expert insights, and forming relationships that drive success. Be part of the progress. Where else can you see the future of agriculture in one place? Save $10 when you register now at farmprogressshow.com with code RADIO25. Farm Progress Show, where progress meets possibility. FarmProgressShow.com.
A trade deal with Japan is one of the recent trade deals the Trump administration has finalized. C.J. Miller reports now how that deal could benefit America's grain and livestock producers.
I think that's really important to remember because it wasn't that long ago where we were at a severe disadvantage tariff-wise.
And that's Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. That new trade deal sets a 15% tariff rate on Japanese goods coming into the U.S. President Trump also announced that the deal will increase market access for U.S. ag products. Hallstrom says there was a sense of relief once that new trade deal was announced with Japan, which is the second largest market in the world for U.S. pork and beef exports.
2024, we saw about $1.9 billion on beef and about $1.4 billion on pork for a total of about $3.3 billion in sales. And it's been pretty consistent right in that range.
According to President Trump's executive order, Japan will purchase $8 billion in U.S. corn, soybeans, fertilizer, bioethanol, and sustainable aviation fuel. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Find more farm news anytime at HoosierAgToday.com. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Some moisture trying to move toward the Hoosier State today. Does everybody get it? Probably not. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Here's what I have in my forecast going forward. We are looking at a dry start to Tuesday, starting the day off with moisture sitting just to the north across southern lower Michigan, arcing back down through southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and back into Iowa and Missouri. I think as we approach midday, some of that moisture starts to work into northwest Indiana and the northern third of the state in general. This afternoon and evening, then, we see scattered showers and thunderstorms peppering the state and diminishing probably as we get close to midnight. For tomorrow, we have a lingering batch of showers likely down near the Ohio River in southern Indiana. But again, this is likely going to mean that if only 70% of the region picks up moisture in the next 24 to 36 hours, I think it's somewhat spotty. I'm going to put in anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch, but feel that a large part of us could be in the low end of that range even. So for everybody commenting that you need a rain, and I know that that's a large part of the state, this may not be the rain you're looking for. As we get into Thursday, I think we're basically dry statewide. Maybe a few lingering clouds near the Ohio River, but they don't amount to much. Friday is dry as well. Saturday, sunny, warm, and dry. Getting into Sunday, a few pop-up hit and miss of scattered showers, but it's not a huge, well-organized batch. I think there's a better potential in northern Indiana Sunday evening into early Monday morning. And then we get into the rest of next week, very unsettled. Monday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, early Thursday. I think we have chances of on-again, off-again moisture there. The problem that I see with it currently is the fact that it's not necessarily tied to any strong weather feature. There's not a strong low. There's not a huge front. In my mind, this looks to be very heat-based, very almost popcornish. So yes, we've got good threats over multiple days. Do they stay as we get closer to the event? That's what I'm concerned about. Remember, 4 or 5 days ago, the period right now looked a lot better than what it is as I'm talking to you here this morning. In any case, behind all of that instability late next week, we do turn cooler. Cooler Canadian air sliding in over the Great Lakes region should be a beautiful finish to the week for Friday the 22nd and for the weekend of the 23rd and 24th. And we keep the cooler air around into the start of the following week as well. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
A sizable soybean rally to start the new week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. I'll have final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with the reasons why beans rallied. For that, I checked in with market analyst John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities, at the end of the session. A Sunday night, Monday morning tweet about China needing U.S. soybeans, and the trade went off and running with that. A very strong move for soybean futures on Monday. But is it all accurate, John? We have to wait and see.
I'd say a strong lean toward no. That doesn't mean there can't be a some sort of loose agreement in the coming days and weeks. But the way it was worded didn't make it sound like there was any kind of deal in place, certainly. And, you know, we just, as far as soybeans, the Chinese have zero new crop sales on. This is the lowest since 2005 on this date. So if there's not very many put on the books on Thursday, we think it could be the lowest since 1999. So we're off to a horrible start. And the tweet said on Truth Social said four times existing sales, or four times sales. So zero times four, you know, we've got to have some good news here, and we need it fast, because the Chinese have bought a record amount of soybeans from Brazil in that May, June, July timeframe. So, you know, Arlen Suderman with StoneX has said that he thinks they've built up 1.6 billion bushels worth of reserves to go into the fall to put some pressure on us. So I just can't see any kind of agreement that's going to throw Brazil under the bus, given that they're a BRICS partner with China. So I'm not confident, but I think given the dry weather forecast, and it turned drier here on the noon maps, I think that's adding some support to go along with what we heard from President Trump.
So a lot of what happened on Monday wasn't just about the president's tweets. It had a lot to do with weather, and would that hold for corn as well, which was quietly on the plus side?
Yeah, you know, up a couple cents, no excitement there. And there's not going to be any kind of big Chinese agreement. You know, people have brought up the agreement that was signed under Trump the first time, a non-binding agreement. But nonetheless, we were never going to come close to that number without a substantial amount of corn and wheat sales. So I don't see that agreement being revisited. And so I'm skeptical, and I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see much unwinding there here in the coming days and weeks.
Usually the day before the August 12th crop report, we see some positioning, or maybe very little positioning, since we typically are well set prior to that report. So it was an odd day in that regard, with a very strong move in soybeans.
Yeah, you know, the trades, you know, 52.9 average trade guess. I think that's under where we are sitting here currently. But that doesn't necessarily mean the USDA is going to come out with that. I think the USDA will be a little cautious. We've tended to come out of the box with the bigger numbers here in the last 8 or 9 years, but we've only had one good August across the Corn Belt in the last 9 years. And that was in 2019, after we got off to that horribly slow start. So 2016 is the standing yield record at 51.9. This crop's one, you know, at a minimum, this crop's probably 2 to 3 bushels better than that 51.9 if, and it's a huge if at this point, we can get some decent rain here in the next 2 weeks in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky. So a huge if. If we don't get that rain, then we're back, you know, having to deal with, you know, seeing some substantial yield penalties coming up.
John Zanker with the market analysis. Get John at Risk Management Commodities. The phone number, 866-837-9027. On the Hat Monday, farm market review, up 2.25 on September, December, and March corn. Each contract 2.25 higher, September ending at 385, Dees 407.75, March 425.25, and beans September 991.75, up 24 cents, November 10.11.25, 23.75 higher, January up 23 at 1029.5, up just a half cent on September wheat going to 515. Livestock markets higher too. October live cattle 226.10, up 12. October lean hogs up $1.10, $91.77. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.